Have you ever looked at your smaller grill, maybe on the balcony, and just wished you could get that real deep, smoky barbecue flavor? You know, the kind you think needs one of those huge smokers.
Yeah, exactly. But guess what? There's a way.
Well, get ready for a bit of a game changer then. Today, we're diving deep into a secret weapon that could seriously transform your small grill setup.
That's right. This whole deep dive is about using a smoke pot for small grills. And our mission really is to give you the shortcut to becoming, well, a master of small-scale smoking, turning everyday grilling into something pretty special.
We've basically taken a really comprehensive guide on these smoke pots and boiled it down to the absolute essentials, the key nuggets of wisdom you need. And the promise is, by the end of this, you'll know exactly how to pick the right one, get it prepped, and use it to get those incredible flavors onto your food, all on the grill you already own.
We'll even get into why certain materials work better, the secrets to perfect smoke, and maybe some surprising foods that actually work great with this technique.
Okay, let's get into it then. This secret weapon, the smoke pot. Why is it so effective for a small grill? What's the core idea?
Well, at its heart, it's designed specifically to boost that flavor profile, the smoky notes in your grilled feature. And it fits pretty seamlessly even with really compact setups. Think of it like your ticket to that authentic, low and slow kind of taste, but without needing a giant smoker dominating your patio space.
It really sounds like an essential bit of kit for anyone serious about flavor on their grill.
Yeah.
So, okay, if you're looking to get one, what are the absolute must-know factors? What makes a good one? Good.
That's a really important question. You need to focus on basically four main things: the material it's made of, the size, which brands are, reliable, and how you're going to look after it. These things really dictate its lifespan, how well it works, and ultimately how good your smoked food tastes.
Let's kick off with materials then. Does it really matter that much?
Yeah.
Stainless steel, cast iron. What's the deal?
Oh, absolutely. It makes a huge difference. Durability, heat retention, these are key. Stainless steel is super popular and for good reason. It's really resistant to rust and corrosion, which is great for something that lives near a grill. Plus, and this is vital, it holds heat incredibly well. That means consistent smoke.
Consistent heat, consistent smoke.
Okay. If your pot loses heat quickly, your smoke is going to be patchy and the flavor won't be even.
Got it. But I hear a lot about cast iron too. Is that just like old school preference, or does it offer something stainless steel doesn't?
Cast iron is definitely a fantastic, very traditional choice. It's brilliant at conducting heat evenly across the whole surface. So you get really consistent results that way. Now, it does need a bit more TLC. You've got to season it regularly to stop rust and keep it sort of non-stick.
Yeah, the seasoning thing.
But many purists swear by it. They say it gives this unmatched depth of flavor, almost like the pot's own history seasons the food over time. So if you don't mind the upkeep.
The flavor payoff could be worth it. Okay, so material choice sets the stage. Now, size. This feels tricky for small grills. How do you avoid it taking over the whole cooking area?
Yeah, size is incredibly important. You've got to pick one that fits comfortably. You definitely don't want it blocking airflow or just hogging all the space.
Because that leads to uneven cooking.
Exactly. Uneven cooking, poor smoke circulation. It's a recipe for disappointment no matter how good your wood chips are.
So, is there a general rule of thumb, like dimension-wise?
For most compact grills, your typical Weber kettle, Charbroil, portables, something around 5 to 7 inches in diameter usually works really well.
Okay, 5 to 7 inches.
That size gives you enough room for a decent amount of wood chips, but still leaves you enough grilling space. It's finding that balance, enough smoke generation, enough room for the burgers.
That's helpful target.
Yeah.
And brands. You mentioned Weber, Charbroil. Does sticking with known names make a difference here?
In grilling, yeah, I'd say brand reputation often counts for quite a lot. Going with established names like Weber or Charbroil usually means you're getting a product that's been tested, reviewed.
Less guesswork.
Pretty much. You're buying a bit of confidence, knowing lots of other grillers have had good experiences.
And are they known for different things? Like, is Weber different from Charbroil in smoke pots?
They can be, yeah. Weber often focuses on, let's say, innovative design, making pots that integrate really smoothly with their specific grills, maybe some clever engineering for smoke flow.
Oh, are you okay?
Charbroil tends to offer really durable, solid options that are often a bit more budget-friendly but still perform well.
Good to know.
Definitely look for user reviews, check the warranty. Those are good signs of quality and how much the brand backs their product.
Okay, brilliant. So we've chosen our smoke pot. Now, the fun part,
yeah,
getting it ready. Wood chips. What kind? How do we prep them?
Right. Preparation is absolutely key here. What would you choose? How you soak them? How you fill the pot? It all dramatically impacts the end result.
So, wood choice first. Does it really change the flavor that much?
Oh, massively. Different woods give totally unique flavors. For example, hickory gives you that strong, almost bacon-like flavor. Great for brisket,
The
ribs.
classic stuff.
Exactly. Then you've got something like applewood, which is much milder, sweeter, kind of fruity. Excellent for chicken, pork, even vegetables.
Interesting.
And don't be afraid to experiment. Mix them up. Hickory and maybe some cherry wood together. You can get some really complex layered flavors happening.
Ooh, okay. Now this soaking debate. I feel like I see arguments about this everywhere online. Is it really necessary to soak the chips?
In my view, yes, absolutely crucial. And it's often misunderstood. You soak them in water for at least 30 minutes, right?
Okay.
This lets them absorb moisture. Why? Because then they smolder slowly instead of just bursting into flame and burning up quickly.
Smolder, not burn. Got it.
Exactly. That slow smolder is what produces that lovely, thick, consistent, flavor-rich smoke over a longer time. A quick flare-up just doesn't cut
Flavor-rich smoke. Okay, my brain immediately goes, can
it.
I soak them in something other than water? Like, get adventurous.
Yes, you absolutely can. And that's where it gets really interesting. Think about soaking chips in apple juice, beer, maybe even wine.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
Yeah.
the sugars, the acids in those liquids, they can interact with the wood as it smolders, maybe caramelize a little, creating these unique flavor notes you just wouldn't get otherwise. It's like adding a secret ingredient into the smoke.
That sounds amazing. Applewood chips insider.
Exactly. Just be careful not to oversaturate them. You want them damp enough to smolder, but not so wet they struggle to get going, or worse, put out your heat source. Balance is key.
Right, balance. So after soaking and draining, how do we fill the pot properly? Just stuff them in.
Not quite. You need a bit of finesse. After draining them well, fill the pot, but make sure you leave some space at the top. Don't pack it tight.
Why this pain?
It allows the chips to expand a bit as they heat up, and crucially, it ensures good airflow through the chips. If it's packed too tight, they might not burn evenly, or the smolder could choke itself out. You want steady, consistent smoke production.
Got it. Leave some headroom for airflow.
Okay.
But that's prepped. Now, the grill itself. How do we set the stage for perfect smoking, especially on these smaller grills?
Right, setting the scene, proper grill prep where you put the pot, managing the temperature, these are all vital. First off, cleanliness,
Always important.
especially for smoking. Make sure your grill grates are clean. No old food bits, grease, char. That stuff can create off flavors that ruin your smoke. Plus, a clean grill reduces flare-ups, which you really don't want with low and slow smoking.
Makes perfect sense to keep it clean. What about temperature? Is there a magic number we're aiming for?
There is sort of a sweet spot. You want to set your grill to a low heat, ideally somewhere between 225 and 250 degrees Fahrenheit. That's about 107 to 121 Celsius.
Okay, low and slow. Why that range specifically?
That range is perfect for letting the smoke compounds really adhere to the food without cooking it too fast. Too hot, and you're basically just grilling with a hint of smoke. Too low, and the chips might not smolder properly.
Right.
Definitely use a reliable grill thermometer. Don't just trust the one on the lid. They can be way off. And remember, your vents adjusting airflow through the vents is how you fine-tune that temperature.
Good tip on the thermometer. Okay, grill clean, temp dialed in. Where does the smoke pot actually go? Does placement matter a lot?
Oh, placement is crucial for getting that smoke to circulate evenly. Depends on your grill, but generally you want it near the heat source, but ideally not directly in the flames if possible.
So, like on the grates over a burner if it's gas, or near the coals.
Exactly. Sometimes using a heat deflector, if your grill has one or you can fashion one, helps shield it from direct intense heat. The goal is to get the smoke swirling around the food gently.
Okay.
And make sure it's stable. You don't want it tipping over or shifting around. That'll mess up the airflow and the smoke consistency.
Right. Stability.
This all sounds like it needs a bit of management, especially for longer cooks, like big cuts of meat. Any advanced techniques for really nailing that flavor?
Well, the fundamental technique, especially for small grills, is the indirect heat method. You absolutely want to use this.
Explain that again, indirect heat.
It just means placing your food away from the direct heat source and the smoke pot. So the heat and smoke circulate around the food, cooking it gently and evenly rather than hitting it directly. Prevents charring, promotes tenderness.
On a charcoal grill, that means coals and pot on one side, food on the other, cooler side.
Precisely. Or on a gas grill, maybe one burner on low with the pot over it, and the food cooking over the unlit burners. This is especially key for things like brisket or pork shoulder that need hours to cook slowly and soak up that smoke.
What about keeping the smoke going for those long cooks? Do the chips just burn out?
They definitely can, yeah. For longer sessions, you will likely need to replenish the wood chips.
How do you do that without losing all your heat opening the lid? Carefully and quickly. You need to have your extra soaked chips ready to go. Open the grill lid just enough, add the chips to the pot swiftly, and close it right back up. Minimizing heat loss is critical, otherwise your cooking time can stall out. Having slightly pre-warmed replacement chips can sometimes help too.
Okay, quick and careful. And how do you know if you're getting the right kind of smoke? I've heard talk about good smoke and bad smoke.
That's a really important point. You need to monitor the smoke output. Too much thick, billowing smoke can actually make food taste bitter or acrid. Too little, and you don't get that depth of flavor.
So what are we looking for?
You're aiming for what's often called thin blue smoke. It's sometimes hard to see, just a slight shimmer or a thin wisp of blue-tinged smoke. That indicates clean combustion, the wood is smoldering nicely, releasing the good flavor compounds.
And thick white smoke is bad.
Generally, yes. Thick white smoke often means the wood is burning too fast, not smoldering properly. It can deposit soot and create those harsh, unpleasant flavors. If you see that, you might need to adjust your vents to reduce airflow a bit, or check your heat source isn't too intense right under the pot. Thin blue smoke. Got it. Okay, setup mastered, smoke managed. What food should we be putting on there? What really shines with this method? Well, the classics are classics for a reason. Ribs, brisket, chicken, pork shoulder, they all just absorb that smoky essence beautifully with slow cooking. The results are tender, juicy, and packed with flavor.
Can't argue with those.
But you teased some surprising foods earlier. What else works unexpectedly well? Okay, this is where it gets fun. Vegetables. Seriously, try smoking things like bell peppers, onions, even corn on the cob.
Corn on the cob. Really?
Oh, yeah. It takes on this incredible, slightly sweet, nutty, roasted flavor from the smoke. It's amazing. Bell peppers and onions get soft and deeply flavorful. Smoking adds this whole other dimension you just don't get from straight grilling. It transforms them.
I am definitely trying smoked corn now. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Before we put anything on, though, how should we prep the food itself to maximize flavor absorption?
Good question. Marinating or using a good rub beforehand is great. It adds layers of flavor that then mingle with the smoke. Simple things like olive oil, garlic, herbs work, or you can go complex with soy, citrus, spices.
And brining. Is that helpful?
Brining is excellent, especially for leaner meats like chicken or pork loin. It helps them retain moisture during the long cook, ensuring they stay juicy. Highly recommended for certain cuts. For veggies, often just a bit of oil, salt, pepper is perfect.
And the big question for smoking, timing. How do you know when it's done without constantly opening the lid?
Patience is key. And a thermometer is your best friend. Seriously, cooking times vary wildly depending on the food, its size, thickness, even the weather outside. Don't guess. Use a reliable instant read meat thermometer. Check the internal temperature. Chicken needs to hit 165 degrees F, 74 degrees C. Pork, generally around 145 degrees, 63 degrees for things like loin, maybe higher for pulled pork shoulder. Brisket is often about feel and temperature, maybe around 203 degrees F, 95 degrees C. Trust the thermometer, not the clock.
Patience and precision. Thermometer is non-negotiable. Okay, finally, let's touch on safety and keeping everything, the grill, the pot, in good shape.
Absolutely paramount. Safety first, always. Use good heat-resistant gloves when handling anything hot. Keep a fire extinguisher or baking soda handy just in case.
Good call.
Make sure your grilling area is clear of anything flammable, dry leaves, overhanging branches, etc. And just give your grill a quick look over regularly. Check for worn hoses on gas grills, stable legs, things like that.
And cleaning the smoke pot itself, how important is that?
Very important. Clean it after each use. That leftover residue and ash can build up and create nasty flavors next time. How you clean depends on the material. Stainless steel is usually easy, warm, soapy water, maybe a gentle scrub. Cast iron, as we said, needs more care. Scrape it out, maybe wipe with oil, reseason periodically. Keeping it clean ensures pure smoke flavor every time.
And what about the grill overall long term?
Just do regular checks, maybe once a month if you grill often. Look for rust, make sure burners or vents aren't clogged. Check that grates are in good condition, parts aren't loose. A little preventative maintenance goes a long way in keeping your grill safe, performing well, and lasting longer.
Wow. Okay. That was a fantastic deep dive. We've really covered the A to Z of using a smoke pot on a small grill.
Yeah, from picking the right material and size.
To prepping those wood chips, maybe even soaking them in beer.
Huh, right. And mastering the grill temp, getting that thin blue smoke.
Knowing what foods work best, prepping them right, and the importance of that thermometer.
It really shows how these steps can elevate your grilling, taking it from basic to, well, pretty gourmet, even on a compact setup.
It absolutely does. It makes that incredible smoky flavor so much more accessible.
Exactly. You're bringing that authentic barbecue experience right to your own space, no matter the size.
So here's the final thought for everyone listening. With all these new tips and techniques buzzing in your head, what's the first unexpected thing you're going to try smoking on your small grill this weekend?